I'm so excited to talk about our podcast sponsor, Prime Zero Prep. Prime Zero Prep is a full-service pre-fulfillment company located in tax-free New Hampshire. That's a big deal, tax-free. They pack and prep and ship all your goods for Amazon FBA shipments. Whether it's online arbitrage, wholesale, or private label, they're the go-to prep center. They become your go-to prep center. As a previous Amazon seller, Brennan and his team know exactly what it takes not only to prep your items, but to do it right. And here's the key. As changes happen, they keep up with it so you don't have to. I've personally used Prime Zero Prep. I 100% endorse their service. I just can't say enough about them. Check them out at primezeroprep.com. Let them know that I sent you for premium service. That's primezeroprep.com.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 134, Greg Murphy. Greg is a massive bookseller. I mean, just a mega bookseller. Buys books by the tractor trailer load. Yes, tractor trailer load. 52 Gaylord, sways tens of thousands of pounds. And he calls himself the junk man. They actually sort through every book, figure out what can sell. In the old days, he would send them off to recycling and cut off the edges and all that kind of jazz. Now, he's taken it a step further, and he has opened a dollar book swap. So in this segment, we're going to spend some time talking about catching up, because it's just so fascinating, and it's a perfect, you know, it really is a perfect laboratory to watch as they figure things out, and then they roll it out to their groups. And in the end, the last segment you really want to listen to, because Greg gives you an opportunity to join his group, which I really think you ought to consider. Listen to the episode. We'll get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. And man, I'm excited about tonight's guest. He was guest number three, episode number three. I mean, think back how long ago that was. Greg Murphy. Welcome, Greg.
Thanks, Stephen, for having me. It has been a long time, and I'm really excited to be guest number three.
You were a big deal. You were like, and it's funny because you're about a third smaller than you were in that picture, and I might use a current picture versus that, because you've been on a regimen of really working on your health, and man, I admire you for it. You look fabulous. I mean, you lost a Backstreet Boy. You clearly did. I mean, you lost a lot of weight.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah, about 50 pounds so far. Not quite a Backstreet Boy, but
when they were starting out, they were probably not far from that wet. So, all right, so. You are the book king. You are Mr. Bus Proof, and we're going to explain what Bus Proof. Well, say it right now. A Bus Proof business means what?
Well, a Bus Proof business. It's a term that I sort of. I'm sure some people have said it before me, but I started using about a year ago or so, and it's about building systems and outsourcing your business. I guess not outsourcing, but making it so that it'll run without you. So my partner, Brian Young, and I, we came up with Bus Proof Business because, we both have businesses that can run without our day-to-day involvement.
Yeah, but there's a morbid thing about the bus, right?
It certainly is. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but the point is that if you get hit by a bus, your business will run without you. And so what we're hoping to do is that, you don't get hit by a bus or any kind of mass transit. We just want you to be able to go play golf or watch daytime TV or do whatever you want, and have your business still make money.
Well, the morbid side is real, though, because how many of our spouses are worried, what happens when with all that stuff in the warehouse, if something happens to you? And that's a real concern. And I don't think most people have thought that through, or do they have a plan in place? So it's actually a very relevant topic, especially as you scale up your business, because you've got other people, that you're responsible for. You have all these lives, right? You have all these employees in your case, you got a lot of people working in your place. So I think it's a real deal. So how is business? I mean, last time I was out at your place, you were moving from the smaller place. You were pretty much moved to this 60,000 square foot warehouse?
Yes, sir. 60,000 square
foot. Okay. 60,000 square foot. And at that point, when we were there, you were the dollar book swap was just kind of getting started. You were having a little bit of success with it. You were looking at the second floor, and you were like, you had to go up there, and you're like, here's the vision. I mean, you cast a vision, and I saw it. I mean, I agree. I could see it. From what I understand, you're there.
Yeah, that's right. We moved all of our merch fulfilled shelving to the second floor, which was kind of a pain in the tail. But so all the books that we're listing for sale from the shop are on the second floor of the building, and we have to go through a freight elevator to get it up there. But so we sort on the line downstairs, and we take the books that we're going to list merchant fulfilled and take them upstairs on the freight elevator and put the shelving up there. And what that's allowed us to do is to expand the dollar book swaps to where we can have over 100,000 books for sale at our warehouse in Dayton, all for a dollar to you know, make books affordable for our local community.
And so now your merchant fulfilled doesn't get mixed up in any way. You don't have anybody wandering down those weird aisles, right, with all the – and so has it made your merchant fulfill operation more efficient? I know it's a hassle getting upstairs, but once they're upstairs, is the process cleaner?
Well, there we have a little bit more room to spread out. We've moved more towards FBA as well, since we're able to get we're able to be a little bit more effective with our pricing now, and so we made the listing part more effective, where it used to cost more money to list books FBA than merchant fulfilled just because of our processes, and now we've reversed it. So it used to be that one guy could list about 1,000 books merchant fulfilled in a day, and then the same guy would only be able to list about 500 in FBA. And now if we really push it, we can list between 1,500 and 2,000 books a day per person in FBA.
And merchant fulfilled, it really hasn't changed.
Correct.
Okay. And, you know, I remember vast aisles of books for merchant fulfilled. I mean, just massive quantities. I'm assuming it has grown since I've been there.
Actually, no, it's about the same, because since the stuff that's is selling through, we're not replacing as much as is selling on a lot of days. So I would guess between 80 and 100,000 units, but I'm not at all sure.
Merchant fulfilled.
Yes, sir.
Always ready for sale. Wow. I mean, it's just an incredible sight to see. And I'm going to ask Greg to send me a couple pictures, because it's just worth it's worth seeing, so you could understand how vast 80 or 90,000 books organized, searchable, and you can find them. I mean, when they sell a book, how long does it take somebody to go find a book?
Well, we it takes one guy. One guy can do 500 or 600 orders a day. So.
Wow. One guy. I mean, so, you know, that's a good day for you, right?
Oh, yeah, that's a decent day.
That's for merchant fulfill. Let's talk about FBA. So when you sell 500 or 600 merchant fulfilled, you call that a decent day. It was your term. What would that be in an FBA comparison? So now that you have how many FBA books would you say you have in?
An estimate would be probably 100 to 120,000 units. But
so a little bit more than merchant fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And you really weren't heavy in FBA last year, so that's really scaled up enormously over the last year.
Yeah, we're trying to ship out a truckload a week. We don't always hit that goal, but we're trying to send out a truckload of books to FBA a week, which is about 25 to 30,000 units.
So in a given – in a the same good day, if you're going to sell 500 to 600 merchant fulfilled, what would you sell on FBA that same day? And non-textbook time, just normal on a good day.
Well, I'm looking at my Amazon account right now because I don't know the answer. But what I do know is that over the last 7 days, it's been more than 5,000 units.
So more than 5,000. So
you know,
that's 7 days. So that'd be 800 a day, a little bit, maybe 750.
Well, on Amazon, for those, there's not very many people that know this, but if you sell more than 5,000 units a day, in Amazon, it doesn't tell you the exact number. It says 5,000 plus.
Ah. So clearly FBA has been good for you. You're selling more, and I assume you're pricing them higher?
Yes, we are. We're getting more control of our own pricing than we used to before. We don't use repricers. We can look at our own historical data and some other data to make better pricing decisions than we were able to before. We're really investing a lot in software for our company as we're growing, especially as we're opening, you know, the dollar book swap. We're opening one in Reno, and we're really looking to expand that aspect of it. So we're really trying to look at Amazon just as one sales channel out of many.
That's so smart. So before the call today, Amazon put out about long-term storage, and they used to exempt one unit. So you used to have one of every book, and you didn't have to pay a long-term storage fee. So Greg was traveling back from Reno in their grand opening, and he didn't catch that until we were talking. And so, you know, there are a lot of changes coming on, and I'm not asking you to tell me the answer because you have to have time to digest this, but there's a reason that you're part of the Busproof book flipping group, because you're going to have a whole bunch of smart people trying to figure out the best way that this is an opportunity, right? Because these changes, while they're painful, aren't always necessarily bad, generally, correct? They make you your business turn, twist, and in your case, right, you have other revenue streams now.
Right, and it's always relative, right? So we will go through this change better than most people because our business is more mature and we have better systems than most. And this is especially true against smaller sellers and institutional sellers like Goodwills and thrift stores that sell online. A lot of those guys stay away from FBA usually, and they're probably most even more likely to now. So I would assume that this is going to create, at least in the short term, a downward pressure on FBA pricing for books. But the sky certainly isn't falling. And I will have a better response to this in the Facebook group over the next couple of days as we process this a little more.
Greg's an economist. You go back and listen to 003, and you will get his whole background, and you can hear him talk about downward pressure on. But you know, you're right. But again, if a bunch of people pull out of there, that's the opportunity, right? So it's a short-term downward pressure, but long-term, it's probably going to be good news, right? Because there's going to be less inventory in the warehouse, and so that's not a bad thing when you have that only unit going in and it's for sale. But again, you got to manage your – you know what? What I'm taking my first takeaway from what you were talking about is process. I mean, you've mentioned process probably, you know, 6 or 7 times already in this 10 minutes we've been talking. That's probably where if you invest – and it's hard to spend your time working on process when you're packing and shipping and doing everything yourself, right? But isn't that the best return you're going to get is working on process?
It definitely is. And I spend so much time working on seemingly small things in my business. If I get a bug up my butt about something to try to make it a little bit more efficient, I'll spend a lot of time on it because I know if that's something that my guys are doing, you know, like when scanning books, my guys each are supposed to – all my scanners are scanning 5,000 times a day. So if I can make that process better for them by buying different equipment, or like we're looking at these new scanners that scan in different directions at once, and we're looking at maybe buying a bunch of them to make it more efficient. If that can increase their productivity by 10%, that'll be an extra an extra 2,000 books a day that we can scan.
And that's an enormous – especially when you're buying truckloads. Greg buys books by the truckload, 52 Gaylords. I remember all these stats because it when you see it – because you try to imagine it, you've really got to see it. Again, I'm going to ask you to send some pictures because – and if you go back at episode 3, there are some pictures actually. But it just blows you away when you see the scale of what happens. And as you always say though, you're not the final end of these books, right? These books are either – going for sale, or they're going for the dollar book swap now, or they're going for recycling. But that's not you're not the end. There's one step after you almost every bit, right? You're just the last process pretty much before it goes to its end.
Yeah, and our goal is to, first off, nothing ever goes into a landfill from my shop. Everything's recycled at the least. But obviously, a better option is to reuse the books in book form, right? Give them to kids that need them or adults that need them if we can. Part of the mission of the Dollar Book Swap is to donate 1 million books a year to local kids and adults that need them and then around the world.
And you're well on your way. So you have your second store. You partnered with someone. Your second store in Reno just opened. How's that been?
It's been pretty good. We got a lot. The business community out in Reno is amazing. We joined the Chamber of Commerce and they did this big ribbon cutting and, they brought a bunch of, I think they call them ambassadors, to the shop. And, you know, we rely heavily on Facebook advertising for our retail business. And they've responded very well. But I'll tell you something, Steve, what I didn't know is that people get very angry when you call Nevada, Nevada.
You better learn the colloquial. You got to get all that down. I mean, that's part of it.
They are not fans.
Well, I think it's impressive. And here's what we all have to take away, okay? Amazon's going to change. E-commerce is going to change. Retail business is going to change. Greg, you're proof of all those things. And your ability to pivot based on the processes you have in place and the continued efficiency you gain in those processes allows you to change. And it really allows you to take care of these opportunities. I mean, Greg and I were together, what, 1 or 2 weeks ago, and we went to an amazing bookstore in Nashville, right? And it was an amazing operation. And it's completely different than your operation. And I think to myself, wait, they're just selling books, but it's not. And so I think, again, those processes, and it does seem to work better with books than just about anything else. Would you agree?
Yeah, I do, because I think that it's a relatively straightforward process. They're uniform. And the good news is that a lot of people treat them as garbage. So they're very inexpensive. And there's a big difference, Steve, if you were to look at a Gaylord of Books and I were to look at a Gaylord of Books, we could see much different things. There's a lot of specialized knowledge that you get just by doing it, you know, thousands and thousands of times. So
a day.
So that information asymmetry, as the economists call it, you know, me knowing more about the transaction than you do allows me to get books for way cheaper than some other folks would, buying just a few at a time. We have those economies of scale. I'm throwing all of my lingo at you tonight.
Yeah, no, you're impressing us. But wait till you hear the questions I have. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to answer some questions. I have some good ones, and I chose one. I know it's going to be perfect for you. Actually, I think they all are. I think they're perfect for you. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Okay, if you plan on selling toys for Q4 and you're looking for a group to join that will help you find the buys, BYOB. That's right, it's called Bring Your Own Bolo. AmazingFreedom.com. On AmazingFreedom.com, you'll see the sign. Click on it. You have until October 1st. They're going to close the group. This is a paid group where you have to bring a bolo to find a bolo. But what's great is the other bolos are there for you. Here's one, $4. It's a toy. Buy for $4. FBA price $29.99. Net profit $15. I can't even do that kind of math on the ROI, right? And it's from Walmart. So that's the type of stuff you're going to see. Here's another toy. Buy at $8. FBA price $33, profit $16.90. Imagine that, okay? BYOB, you got to go to AmazingFreedom.com. But again, they're going to close it October 1st. Get in now, quick.
It just fascinates me again. When you see the retail operation, you're just blown away because it's a warehouse. And yet, thousands of books go out the door every weekend. Just an amazing thing to watch. All right, in this segment, we're going to answer some questions from Dan Metters and Eric Lambert's group, FBA Wholesale. It's a free group. They want to know that you're real. It's a free Facebook group. But it's a lot of great questions, and it's geared towards wholesale, period. And what's really great is today I watched Dan put out a video talking about going from a widget seller, which most people would think that that's what a warehouse is, to a brand manager. And that transition is a mental transition. But boy, their business took off when they understood that. So these questions are real relevant and timely. And Greg will blow you away with one of his answers. Blew me away. I did not expect it. Let's get back into the podcast.
All right, we're back, and we're talking with Greg Murphy of Busproof Book Flipping, the man with books, I mean, a couple hundred thousand, now another 100,000 in Reno. Is that how big the store is?
Yeah, I believe that's where we're going to be. But see, they don't have – and this is why systems are so important, because, you know, we didn't understand what we actually needed to really hit it hard out there. And so we're a little bit behind and restocking the shelves from the first week to the second week.
And that's funny.
And the trick is that, you know, everyone discounts their own knowledge. Like you think that everybody knows what you know. And so I thought, well, hey, this is going to be very simple. We'll just, we'll go ahead and send them out these books and get it started and they'll be in good shape. But it turns out that a better option would have been to say, look, I'm just going to put together 100,000 books and I'm going to categorize them and put them on pallets and label all the boxes and ship them out to Reno. It's going to cost us an extra $7,000 or $8,000 in trucking, but then it'll be done and you guys don't have to duplicate our processes. That's what I should have done.
That's what you should have done. But hindsight's 20/20. So when the third one opens, you'll have all this figured out, right? I mean, isn't that really what you're doing though? You know, is your trial and error, you know, figuring it out in some ways? Because there's no book. I get it.
Yeah.
There's no book. There's no blueprint for this, really.
Right. Certainly not yet. But no, there's not. And that's what it's all about, is that I like to call it throwing spaghetti against the wall and see what sticks. So I just keep taking shots, and it doesn't hurt my feelings to fail, because it's not fatal, and it shows you what not to do.
Right, it's not fatal. Ooh, love it, and you're not going into debt for it. So there you go. Okay, so here are the questions from Dan and Eric of FBA Wholesale. Dan Metters, Eric Lambert's group. Amazing couple fellas. You know them well. I know them well. They are all about wholesale. And, you know, they really, really run their operation in a very smooth way. So here's the questions that come up from their group. It's a free group, FBA Wholesale. You just got to make sure that you're real when you join. So this is an easy one for you. I think this is a good one. What's the record low cost for LTL? So LTL is less than a truckload. So when you're sending in item, all right, let me date myself. When I used to send in books to Amazon way back in the day, there used to be a great rate of shipping. So I used to pay even pennies per pound, and it was a media rate, and mm-hmm. the box was marked media, and used to send it in. It was an amazing rate. A couple years ago, they started saying, no more media rate. We're going to send books a couple different places, and it goes the regular rate. And as you know, a textbook could be, you know, 4, 5, 6 pounds, so it got to be kind of expensive. So when the book by the big boys like you, you're sending in books when you can by LTL, right? A truck comes up, it's less than a truckload, they're backing it up, and you're putting pallets of books on there. So this person's question is, what's the record low cost that you paid?
Well, what we pay, what we found out, and this is, it's different based upon your location. So how far are you from a highway? How far are you from the fulfillment center? All these things change. But what we have found is that for our rate, whether we send, you know, a full truckload or a half a truckload, it basically costs about $700.
Now, how many pounds are on that?
So between 20 and 40,000 pounds, it's going to still cost $700.
So can you do that math real quick?
Oh, yeah. It's about, so what is that? It's less than a penny a pound, right? No, about a little over a penny a pound.
I'm going to let you do that math.
Let me think here.
We could just get a calculator. This is good radio right here, right?
Great.
You know, if you think about it, now when I send in, I sell a lot of shoes. So, and I also sell toys and other things, right? So I can get 22 cents a pound, and it's only about an hour from me. So it's a really good place. When I send to the Midwest out your way, it's about 35 to 40 cents a pound. When I send to California and Phoenix, it's almost $1 a pound.
Oof.
And so, you know, when you start thinking about that, it's an enormous cost added on to a retail product, right? Now, if you got 100 units in there and it's only, you know, $10 to send a box, easy peasy, right? It's not very big. But all of a sudden, if you got 2 or 3 units, now all of a sudden you're making a, you know, it's a big change. Books are heavy by nature, period. So are you sending, I mean, I know there's a delay. I guess there's a downside to sending in books by the truckload, right? There's a delay. It takes 2 weeks to get them in and checked in?
Well, yeah. What happens is that when you send books by a semi-load of books or even an LTL, the carrier has to get an appointment. Amazon is very strict about their appointments. And so what will happen is we'll, if it's a good carrier, they'll come and pick our books up and keep them in their warehouse or keep them in their truck on their lot until the appointment date comes up. And it can be 2 or 3 weeks out. Now, a bad carrier, and we're really trying hard to get rid of these guys, but what they'll do is they'll say, look, you got to keep them in your facility until the day of the appointment. And so so we have like – there's been times when we'll have two truckloads of books on our floor. And we have a big warehouse, but we don't have one that big.
Right. And I can't imagine it's good to keep walking past there mentally saying, oh, my God, my stuff's sitting there. At least when it goes out, you feel better,
yeah,
right? There's a breath. You could take a breath.
Yeah, you can at least pretend that it's all.
Yeah, you can pretend. Hey, yeah. You know what? You got to take it where you can. Okay, so you've gotten down below or around a penny a pound. I'm going to say that's going to be close to the record.
It's actually while I was doing the math after, you know, I took off my shoes, and it's a little less than 2 cents a pound, I think.
A little less than 2 cents a pound. Okay, that's about as amazing as it could get. That's just incredible. And that's a full truck, half truck, doesn't matter. That's not one pallet, though, right? That's
right. No, and it would be. See, here's the thing is for some weird reason with freight, they can – I basically – if I send a half a truck, it'll be about 4 cents a pound. If I send a full truck, it'll be about a little over 2 cents a pound. So it's $700. If it's 14 skids or more, it's going to be $700. That's just the pricing.
Okay. And so that's a great way to get a frame of reference. Okay, here's the next question. Does a high rank on Amazon mean a good thing or a bad thing? And the responses from people were really – because they're like, oh, man, that has a high rank or that has a good rank. Is it good or bad?
Well, here's the thing. It's like air conditioning, right? You know, like in your house when somebody says turn up the air conditioning or turn down the air conditioning, like when you're wanting to make the temperature lower – There's two ways to say it. So some people say low rank means a low rank would be 10 million. Some people say a low rank would be one. So, you know, high versus low depends on what you mean, you know, what you're trying to say. But the lower, the way I say it is, the lower the better. So a rank of 1,000 is lower than a rank of 1,000,000. And the way I talk about it. So obviously the lower the sales rank, then the greater the sales velocity, the more units of that product you can move in a specific period of time. Mm-hmm. On average, everything being equal, because Amazon has a funky algorithm and who knows what goes on.
Okay. All right. It is the way you say it. You do have to clarify it. Do you mean it in a good way or a bad way? You really have to give some context, right? Okay. Here's the last one. What is the core competency of hiring a successful employee? Boy, that's a general question, isn't it? I mean, isn't that, you know, think about that. You know, what are you hiring them for, right? I mean, are you hiring an accountant or are you hiring a guy to stand on the book line, right, or unload your trucks?
Well, in general, though, what I do, and who knows if it's right or wrong, but in general what I do is competency is secondary to me. To someone's attitude and being trainable. We're not doing anything. We're not doing brain surgery. So there's a lot of things that we can teach people, but what we can't teach them is to come to work, every day and to, you know, to be willing to learn while you're here, to have a good attitude, to get along with people. That's really what is the most important things for us when we're hiring.
Okay. So you're not necessarily looking for somebody who, I mean, especially if you're not hiring an accountant, a lawyer or whatever, right? Those are very specific things. But generally, you're looking for that attitude. And as you say, they need to be teachable, right? They need to be willing to learn.
And a big deal, Steve, one of the things we learned is that, you know, basically we have a book factory. I mean, it's a factory. It's not like a bookstore. There's a big difference. So
that's got to be different for you then, right? I mean, because you're hiring retail, and so really that changes for you. That's a good perspective to think about.
Exactly. And so what happened is that we thought in the beginning, well, hey, the guys on the line, we'll just have them sort the books for the book sale. Well, it turns out that there's a big difference between people that are going to work well in a bookstore and people that are going to work well in a factory. And so maybe that's apparent to everybody, but it wasn't apparent to me. I thought I could use the same guys to do both jobs, and it didn't work out that way.
Yeah, no, their personality traits wouldn't match, right? And they're not geared that way. And so they would fail, and then you would be like, oh, you failed. Well, no, you didn't put them in a position to be successful because you didn't hire right. So that's a real point. I love it.
And all right, almost all ahead of the failures in my business are my fault. That is 100% true. Because what happens is if you don't give these guys the right tools – you know, you can't expect them, you know, you can't make an omelet without eggs, right? So it's not on them if you don't give them the right tools to do the job.
I love it. I think more people need to figure that out. Well, I mean, I think it's becoming an issue as more and more people scale up and they realize they need help. They have to find people that match and then they can help them be successful, because if they don't help them be successful, it's a bad, you know, it's a bad HR issue, and you don't need those, right? You've had those. All right, let's do this. Let's take another break. When we come back, I want to talk about this program that you have where you really are training book. I mean, it's fascinating to me that the book business is being revived. It's like the vinyl record business is actually coming back too in a small, small scale. But the book business is actually starting to be popular again. I just read something where digital books aren't taking off. No surprise, right? They can't keep people's interest because they're on computers all day. They don't want to go and just deal with digital textbooks and things like that. So it's really fascinating to me that you're really training the bookstore owners of the future. And it's not necessarily only brick and mortar. It could be, but it's electronic or digital e-commerce. I mean, it's just fascinating to me. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
This episode is sponsored by me,
Yes, I'm sponsoring my own podcast. This is the ecommercemomentum.com is actually sponsoring it. And it's because I've been able to get the new website up. Not finished by any stretch, but I had to get it up because the player is so much better. You really want to go check out the player. It lets you do so many cool things, including Clamor. And if you don't know what Clamor is, once you try it, you will love it. You can take snippets and send them to somebody else. It's very cool. But I've also added a blog page, and I have my first post up, and they're just short thoughts that I have. I wrote 19 of them when I was on vacation, just different things that I think I'm hopefully going to provoke some thought and get you thinking about really investing in your business, because I think it's time to invest in this lifestyle business, but I want you to invest in your life. And some of these things are going to be about life. Some of these things are going to be about reducing touch points, things that, you know, are on my mind, and I talk to so many people, they're on their mind too. So I think there's some benefit there. So ecommercemomentum.com, when you sign up, you will get 25, yeah, here's my big sales pitch, 25 things you can outsource in your business. I think most of them will be intuitive. There's a few there you might say, huh, I might didn't even think I could do that, but you can, and I give you a list of different things, all free. And I just hope you sign up, because then you'll receive notifications when I do post a new blog post or when I have a new episode coming out. These episodes, you know, two a week plus some blog posts, I put out a lot of content. I really hope you enjoy it. Again, if you see somebody that you think is worth me interviewing, send me a note, private message me, and I'd love to talk with them. ecommercemomentum.com is the sponsor. Take care.
All right. I like that answer on weight. I mean, less than 2 cents a pound. I just can't imagine, because I've paid a dollar, I think it was a dollar something, to send shoes to California. And shoes are 2 or 3 pounds. So it cost me $4 or $5 for that one pair of shoes to get out to the West Coast. So imagine at 11 cents a pound what that could do. In this segment, we're going to talk about Busproof Labs. This is the laboratory where you get to work on your business, your book business. Specifically, that's what they're geared towards, is book businesses, but they kind of work together in some ways and experiment kind of in a laboratory. Here's what's working, here's what's not. So today, Amazon announces that they're taking away the exemption of one product for long-term storage. Well, that's a big deal if you're a bookseller and you've got, in Greg's case, 100,000 books sitting at FBA. All of a sudden, they're now going to get charged after 6 months and a year. He has to change his business model. He has to factor that cost in, whichever makes sense. And I'm sure it's going to be all the things above. But again, working in a laboratory, you get to work on it together. One person's idea builds on the next person's idea. So if you're in the book business, or if you're thinking about it, this is probably a great place for you to join. It's a paid group. We didn't discuss cost, but I'll have the link for it, because I should have asked him that question. I didn't. Sorry about that. But I don't think it's that much. And again, you're around like-minded people that are going to help invest in your business. I think it's a great idea. Let's get back into the podcast.
We're back and we're talking with Greg Murphy, economist, yeah. Extraordinaire. He dropped some knowledge there. But I mean, and I think it's such a valid point. I love it. But I love the discussion on retail, because as I mentioned earlier, you and I were in Nashville a couple weeks ago and we saw an amazing – that was your second time there, third? No, you were there a bunch of times. But you stood there in amazement studying. And I stood there like, oh, my God, I can't believe – I mean, you described it to me. I just can't believe what I saw. And so you're involved in this Busproof group. So tell me about what Busproof Busproof Labs, what's that going to mean?
Yeah, okay. So we have our website is busproofbusiness.com. And, you know, we have all kinds of stuff for people of all, you know, newbies to people that have been doing this for a long time. But what the labs group is it's a paid group, and because there's people that wanted more than the blog post that we put out and the free training that we put out. There's people that need more one-on-one attention, and so we created Busproof Labs really as a laboratory, right? So we can learn together, so that we can go over different topics. And some of the things that we do there, you know, we do workshops where we go into a topic. We let the labs members get on a webinar or a group call, and they get to ask questions and they get answers, and it's been really great. We're all learning a lot. We also do hot seats, and what the hot seat is we'll take a lab member and we'll go over their business in detail, and we'll record it so that you know, other people can benefit from it as well.
Well, the thing that I like about your group is that it's very open. You're sharing, even though, because you're not really competitors, right? Your Reno bookstore is really not going to be competing with the Dayton bookstore, right? Online they are, absolutely. But locally, and so you both benefit by sharing information, correct?
We definitely do. And not only that, is that I don't really think that these other sellers are really competitors with me online, even, because what I found out is that, you know, these guys, a lot of them, they're buying books one at a time at a bookstore or at a Goodwill or something like that. If they didn't buy that book, a large seller like me would end up getting it at some point.
Right.
So it's not that there's going to be more books on the market than no matter how many sellers, no matter how many sellers get into this, there's not going to be a lot more books on the market than there are already.
So let's just use it this way, right? Here's an easy example. You're all not buying the hot toy Barbie this year. You're not all buying the 2017 Barbie, right, for president or whatever it's going to be, and then you're competing with each other. You're buying, you know, 2 million books, and they're buying their, you know, 50,000 books, and I'm sure there's some crossover, but it's so infinitesimal, right, at the same time that you both have the same book for sale. So it's really not that same competitive spirit. You're both – your success is their success, and their success is your success, because ultimately you want to sell books and you want everybody to buy books, right? And so the more that's available, you all win.
Yeah, and again, those 50,000 books, if they wouldn't have bought them, somebody like me would have bought them anyway, because none of these books are going to the dumpster. They're all going to, at the very end, they're going to go to somebody like me before they go to be recycled.
And so why would somebody want to join? So give me your sales pitch. Why, you know, who is the person that should be joining? Who are the people that will benefit the most?
Well, remember, it's called Busproof Lab. So anybody that has a business, an e-commerce business or any business at all, really, that want to be able to step away from it and have it run without them. Now, books are where we started, because that's where Brian and I, both of our backgrounds are, but that's just where we're starting. We do stuff about the brick and mortar bookstores. We do a lot in marketing, just because I spend about $50,000 to $60,000 a year in Facebook ads, and so by doing that, I learned a little bit. And so even if you are going to just work solo by yourself, it's a good idea to have a Facebook page for your business and create ads that locally that say, hey, you know, my name is Stephen Merchant, Stephen Peterson, sorry. Stephen Merchant is the really tall, famous Englishman. I don't know. My name is Stephen Peterson, and I buy books, and so I pay X amount for books. You can bring them over here and put your email in the Facebook ad and get leads that way.
Right now, books are hot. Okay, everybody's talking about it, because how many booksellers have gotten – how many of your books have gotten restricted?
I don't know that any have.
Okay, and out of a couple million, how many restrictions have you had on books?
None.
Right. I mean, that's the point, right? And so, you know, the business is a pretty secure business, but it's a labor of love, right? It's a hard business. You're a lot of lifting, a lot of moving, a lot of, you know, packing, that kind of thing, until you scale up to a point where you have other people doing that work for you. So that bookseller, if you're on the fence, is Busproof the mod? I mean, maybe you're a little biased, of course, because that's your thing, books. But, I mean, are you trying to coach people away from other avenues of revenue to say, you know, books are a really good business, it's a great opportunity, let's come in now and get started?
We are, because that is what we believe. We think it is the best model for e-commerce. It's the easiest. It's the one that requires the least amount of capital, and to be successful, you don't have to get a 60,000 square foot warehouse. My partner Brian Young, he doesn't have a warehouse at all. He has people
right.
that are buying books for him all over the country, sending them to other people who are sending them to Amazon's fulfillment network.
And so you address both of those things, mm-hmm. and then you have people in between, and now you throw in the dollar book swap model where people are opening back up into retail. What has that done for your business, the retail side of your business? What has that done for your staff? What has that done for your morale of your company?
It really, honestly, it has changed my life because it's made it it's made it something that's real, right? All of us sell stuff. We sell products to people that we never meet. And you know, we get complaints for people that are just behind an email, a screen name. We get to see people to come into the Dollar Bookswap every week that are super thrilled to be in there. We get to make teachers cry by giving them books, like just by giving books away. We're able to make a difference, and that's just not something that you can do, or at least it doesn't feel as good to do that through e-commerce, you know, through, you know, your computer screen.
And so that reward, does that transfer over to your staff?
It really does. At least the guys that I know for sure, the guys that are involved in the book swap, they certainly see
but
it.
They've got to feel good that this stuff isn't going to a landfill, that is going to a kid or to an adult. I mean, they've got to feel good about that because, you know, it is kind of, you know, it's awful when you see that stuff getting trucked off. You know it's going to get destroyed. In your case, it's not. I mean, that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it, and that's why we need to grow faster, because as we expand, you know, we also are getting some more automation in our warehouse, where with the same staff, we're going to be hopefully able to double output over the next 6 months or so, which is going to mean that we need more retail outlets, because as much as I love Dayton and I love our community, they just can't handle the output that we have.
Right, the volume that you're putting out. And so if I'm in the Busproof Labs, I get to experience this and walk alongside with you because that's where you're putting all this information and you're sharing?
Right, exactly. And the best part, in my opinion, are, you know, we're starting to do these things. They're called virtual meetups, where mm-hmm. it's just basically a webinar where all of us get on and we just go through questions, because as much, you know, we put out a lot of blog content, we put out a lot of content in the Facebook groups. But everybody has just these questions that are just a little bit hard to explain generally. You know, they have a question that applies to their business, and while it can have applications outside of it, some people just need a little bit more handholding. And mm-hmm. and I personally just won't do one-on-one coaching. There's just my time. I just can't justify that in terms of my time. So the best way to do that was to say, okay, look, we'll have this this virtual meetup. We can help you, and everybody else can watch, so that they can use that information for their business as well.
You know, I sit here and I think about how many people are talking about leaving the business because of the restrictions or because inventory is harder to find and all these changes that are coming. You said something earlier that really struck me. Books are the least expensive inventory you can buy. I don't know what the term you used. You used some economist term. But you said that before, that it's the cheapest inventory you can get. Can you say that again?
Well, yeah, it really is. It's the least expensive.
Least expensive.
Because most people treat them as garbage. I mean, they literally throw it in the recycling bin, the same place that they're putting their takeout pizza box. And so these books are books that folks didn't want anymore. And so sometimes they're going to the thrift store, sometimes they're going to the recycling centers, but before they end up getting turned into toilet paper or cardboard or whatever else, you know, dollar store toilet paper, before they get turned into any of that, we want to give them another shot so they can stay as books, so we can, you know, give these books away to kids that need them and, you know, sell some for a buck. I mean, We're making some serious revenue from the Dollar Book Swap.
Yeah, because you're selling huge volumes.
Yeah, I mean, we're selling between 6,000 and 10,000 units a week just in the Dayton area.
Now think about that, you know, at a dollar a piece. Hey, you know, I just want to talk to that person who's been thinking, hey, this is getting more challenging. I don't like the direction it's going. I don't like the uncomfortableness of the e-commerce business because of these changes and all the rest of the stuff you can't control. Think about this. Think about dipping your toe into the book business. Greg and Brian are amazing booksellers. I've done interviews with both of them. Go out and listen to Brian Young, Greg Murphy. They're both out there. And listen to what they've been able to do. And it's a year later. Well, it's more than a year, Greg. Your business has exploded. Fair enough?
Yeah, I'm looking. We're up about 45, 50% year over year.
in books. I thought books were dead.
Yeah.
So how could you spend – and you're doing millions of dollars. I mean, let's just face it. You're doing millions of dollars in sales, and yet you're still up 40 and 50%. And that doesn't even include the dollar book swap. And so – and as you always say, there's more books than you can handle, right? There's just more business than you can physically, personally do. Agreed?
Yeah. We have to fire suppliers all the time because they – you know, we just, there's way more books than we can handle. And I think that's always going to be the case. Because this is a marketplace that is changing all the time. And you know, there's all these new, just, we learned today about these Amazon restrictions. And I'm thinking about now applying for Merchant Fulfilled Prime, to see if we can't start shipping, you know, Prime eligible stuff from our own warehouse, to be a little bit more competitive.
And again, that's now another competitive advantage. If you do that, because most people won't, they're not willing to do the work, you're willing to do that, you get another advantage. Again, I just hope somebody who's thinking about leaving would say, wait a second, let me give this one more shot. Let me reach out to Greg and Brian and just see that. You're going to give me a link. It's busproofbusiness.com is how – that's your main website, mm-hmm. right? And that's the business site. How about Busproof Labs? You'd be able to send me a link for that?
Yeah.
That I can put out there?
Certainly.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay, I appreciate that. All right, so, you know, your information to contact you, you're on Facebook. I'll put your Facebook contact. I'm blown away again. I need some pictures of what the new warehouse looks like, especially the Merchant Fulfilled, because I just want people to get perspective of what your operation, the scale of your operation. And, you know, then you talk about Brian Young, whose scale of his operation is nothing, right? I mean, he doesn't have a warehouse. He doesn't have that because, you know, he does go out and buy books. I don't want to downplay that. But he has people that buy books. He has people that pack and ship books for him. And that stuff just gets handled elsewhere. And that's his level of comfort with his family. He's got a zillion kids, right? And he's got a big family. And that's the way he wants to run his business. It's not right or wrong. It's just different, right?
No, it's not. And in fact, I say all the time where if I was to start over, I'm not sure that I wouldn't choose his model over mine. And that's why we spend so much time talking about it because, I mean, think about it. It's distributed. There's not – no matter how big he gets, he's never going to have to get a warehouse. All he has to do is use the same training material that he has for his staff. He has a bookstore manager that manages the guys that go out and source the books and the guys that go out and list them. He didn't even want to manage them. So he hired a bookstore manager and they're all paid piece rate. It's just an amazing model.
It really is an amazing model, and that's addressed in Busproof Labs too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody can have access to that model. Okay. All right. I hope somebody thinks about it because, again, I just hate to see people leaving, kind of giving up. And I agree. These are challenging times. You know, you really have to think on your feet, and it's definitely this is not a set-it-and-forget-it business. That's one thing we all know. This is not a set-it-forget-it. Even Greg would tell you his model is going to change based on the information today a little bit. Is that necessarily a bad thing? I don't think so. I think in the long run, the better, you know, the people who are able to adapt, you know, survive better and are able to take advantage of it. So I think it's great. Greg, I wish you nothing but success. Give me something. I want to move somebody forward today. And I hope somebody reaches out to you to say, you know what, let me dip my toe in the book business. I really hope they do because you're so passionate about it. And Brian is too. Give me something though, for that person who's kind of stuck right now and they're thinking, what do I do to move forward in the month with all these changes, fourth quarter's coming up. What do I do? Give me something that somebody can do to make their business move forward.
Well, I would definitely think about, you know, what is it that only you can do? You know, what is it that adds the most value to your business? And really think about ways that you can focus only on that. So it's sort of like, you know, there's the 80-20 rule. Everybody mm-hmm. talks about that. But there's really not very many things that you need to focus on. And when you're so busy doing all of just the crappy work, and this includes Facebook. I think honestly, Facebook sometimes can be poison, where we think we're doing work and we're really just gossiping with our friends. And so we do that for but I guess if there's just one tip, it would be figure out what really adds value to your business and focus on that. And just know that no matter what these changes are, it comes down to your attitude. Because if you're saying, well, look, all these changes happen, and I know for sure that I'm really dial in and I'm really going to face it head on, you're already 90% of the way there. Because most people right now, especially with this long-term storage fee thing that's changed, are hiding under their desk. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, they're panicking, saying, oh, my God, it's over. Okay. All right. I love it. Love it. Man, I wish you nothing but success. Can't wait to see you again. I know you're going to do great things. And you owe me some pictures. Remember, I want people to come out and look at this because you've really got to see it to appreciate it, the scale. I mean, it's just enormous, and it's just such an amazing thing. Maybe even a couple pictures of the bookstore, because I just think that that's such a cool thing that you've done, and you should be really proud. I wish you nothing but success. Take care.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Seller Essentials, essential business solution for online sellers. Whether you sell general merchandise on Amazon or eBay, private label your own product, or if your focus is selling books, wholesale products, or liquidation lots, let Seller Essentials be your online resource for all things e-commerce. Essential resources, essential solutions, Seller Essentials, the internet's premier venue for online professional. Visit SellerEssentials.com. For more information, that's SellerEssentials.com.
He's such a terrific guy. He's such a smart businessman. Again, I love the fact that he's expanding into retail. Now a second location, a third or fourth location, I'm sure is not far behind. And again, if you're in Nashville, you go look at the bookstore that we looked at. You can reach out to Greg or reach out to me if you want, if you're interested in looking at it, because their model is a fascinating business model, and it's completely different than Greg's. So I think that's the lesson here, is that, you know, if you sell toys, there's really not a lot of ways to sell toys. You either sell them in a retail store, you sell them in a online, or you sell them on your own website, one of those three. Books, there's a lot of different methods, and really interesting business. So hope you enjoyed that. ecommercemomentum.com. I'm going to put pictures from Greg's warehouse and his retail book business and the Reno store that they just opened. I'm going to put as many pictures as I can on the website, ecommercemomentum.com, this episode. Hope you enjoy it. Take care. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.